one of the most South African things to do is to state the obvious when it comes to the weather. Jena macht es warm. Jo, kushushu. Shoo, but it's cold, eh? It's been cold. It's been freezing over the last few days. It's called the Antarctic Pulse. It's been making its way from the Antarctic, moving its way through the Western Cape into the Northern Cape, and then into Gauteng. My friends and family in Kimberley and in Katu have been sending pictures of literal falling snow from the sky. In Kimberley, someone sent me a picture. They went to the loo and the toilet water was frozen. In Katu, at the iron ore mine in that area, literal stalactites hanging from some of the metal stairs at that mine. It's been absolutely freezing. Temperatures as low as minus 8 degrees in Gauteng. And if you're lucky to have a gas heater or electric heater or a fireplace, I hope that you've been enjoying that and keeping warm. But South African homes generally aren't built for the cold. Joining me now is Richard Lesieur, Snow Report South Africa. You can't keep up with all the reports of snow falling across the country, Richard.
Good morning, Lester, and good morning to the listeners today. Yes, no, we definitely can't keep up. I mean, we, you know, on days like this, or weeks like this, it's crazy. The reports are coming in continually, the photographs, videos, etc. You know, last week we started forecasting this quite big snow event, which looked even bigger before, and then scaled back. Mm. But as always, we had a whole lot of so-called experts and skeptics going, that's not going to happen. Mm. And yes, as you say, the snow came in right across the Western Cape, deep into the Eastern Cape, up into the Northern Cape, mm. the Free State, and little bits into Lesotho as well. And I mean, those temperatures have dropped down way, way down. You know, I think we were seeing on some of the mountains going down as low as minus 15 again.
In Joburg reports, they're saying that last night was the coldest day in about a decade there in that city.
I'm sure that's entirely possible. I mean, we've seen, you know, this season we've seen a lot of cold weather coming in. This is the 10th snowfall of the season. Yeah, I mean, this happens every 2 years. You know, goes in its cycles, and we get these years where lots of snow comes in and low level snow comes in and freezing temperatures. But yeah, I mean, it's made for closed roads all over the all over the Eastern Cape in particular, again, and lots of excitement, but you know, challenges obviously for farmers and so on. You know, with these kinds of temperatures, it must be very, very difficult to be a farmer in these areas.
Tell us about what's been dubbed the Antarctic Pulse. And usually when there's a heat wave somewhere or a climactic event, particularly news media tries to give it a snappy title and a snappy name. What exactly is the Antarctic Pulse?
You know, basically cold air coming up from the south, basically. And, you know, we often see the weather come in, sort of hitting the cold weather and the front hitting from the west and spreading across the country. But this one we saw a lot more coming up from the south. So that's why you're seeing those very cold temperatures and a lot of snow on the southern mountains and going deep into the Eastern Cape. And, you know, so, I mean, pretty much everything cold comes from down there. But, you know, there's always those nice, newsy terms for everything. But, you know, it's one of those things that comes in from time to time. You know, Lester, about a week or so ago when we were watching all of the early data, and we watch constantly for all of that, and we were seeing the data showing widespread snow across Joburg. Mm. It didn't materialize, but it does every so often. You know, 2012 was a big year for Joburg snow. And we were seeing the snow going way up into the south of Namibia, which also happens, and so on. But yeah, these things come in. I personally don't think this is the last of the very cold spells for this winter. I think there's going to be more. And it's chilly times, but I mean, it makes for challenges for some, but it makes for lots of fun for others. And we got some amazing photographs yesterday coming from the Eastern Cape, of some cheetahs in this, with the snow all around them and with a fresh kill. And I mean, those are just incredible pictures that show what an interesting place South Africa is. And I'm sure those are spread around the world.
I don't understand South Africans' obsession, or Capetonians' obsession of driving to Ceres to go play in the snow. Because when I was growing up, I just wanted to play in snow until I experienced snow for the first time, Richard. And then I discovered snow is wet. Snow is wet, and if you're playing in snow in jeans or a fleecy top, your clothes get wet as well, and it is a miserable ride home.
You know, we always try to tell people, and when we go out for our snow reporting trips, I mean, we well dress in the right kind of gear and many layers and waterproof boots and everything like that, but we always encounter so many people that are there and their feet get wet because they are in the wrong shoes, or they are in wellies, which look amazing, make for great photographs, but you're dry and freezing then, you know? So it is all about it, and especially the Western Cape, the snow often tends to be quite wet, you know, as you get up to the cold temperatures in the Northern Cape and in the deep Eastern Cape and Lesotho, the snow is often quite dry, so it's not as hectic, but the Western Cape, and it often melts quickly, like on a day like today. Without the right gear, it's going to be fun for a while.
And then it's just sludge.
The little kids, it's going to wear off after a while, you know, when they're getting cold, and gloves too, you know. Those little woolly gloves are not always the thing to keep you warm, especially for the kids.
Also, a snowball in the schnoz hurts. It looks all great. It looks all great in the Christmas movies, but it hurts.
No, absolutely. And you know, Lester, you'll probably appreciate this. I mean, one of the funniest things, and we always sort of say to people, drive safely and be careful and everything like that. But there's a very Western Cape phenomenon of when they go up into the Cedarburg or the Kobokerveld and Cirrus and so on, to build a snowman on the front of the car. And we come back, or we're out on trips every so often, we just see car after car after car with these snowmen built on the front of them. And it's absolutely hilarious. But the odd person builds them in the middle of the vehicle and, you know, drives looking out of the window, which, you know, it's probably not the best idea. You have to laugh, but it's probably one of those we should warn people, just please remember not to build the snowman in front of where you're driving.
Richard, listen.
We do things like this.
We don't deserve it. We don't deserve the snow. Richard Lesier, Snow Report, South Africa. But this terrible cold spell, as Richard says, will probably continue into the winter. But Brighton Mariba is a technical manager at a company called Hydrofire. Brighton, South African homes aren't designed for the cold. We have, in many middle class, working class houses there, it's big, large windows. It's from the tiles all the way from the front door, from the front room all the way to the back room. We're really probably going to have to start looking at how we design and insulate our homes.
Yeah, sure. If you look, for example, we know that some of these houses, they are already built, and you only realize now that you don't have enough heating. And with the lockdowns, you are spending most of your time at home, which will be a challenge because it will be very cold in the family. So if the house is already built, you have to find some sort of heating in the house. So with us, we supply freestanding fireplaces, for example, which can just be installed in any way in the house. So like in the lounge area, you can have it there to supply just the open spaces. But the sizing of the units is mainly based on the space. So as I said, if it's in the lounge, which means you can you eat up that space. But then if you are if you consider like at night, you go to bed and then the bedrooms are also cold. So you have to find a way to heat up the entire house.
Is it more about insulating our homes? Is it more about insulating? Is making sure that every little crack and crevice and little space underneath the door is all sealed and secure and insulated. The best way to keep warm in your home is actually simply just to make sure that no air, cold air comes in. And no warm air escapes by the, with that matter as well.
Sure, insulation plays a big role, but I mean, you can insulate to an extent. But obviously, when you have ceiling cavities, it's ideal to have some insulation inside it. That will help maintain your temperatures inside. So even if you heat it up, then you can retain the energy so you don't lose. Because you tend to lose a lot if the ceilings are not insulated. And with windows, not all houses have got double glazing windows. Because they tend to be a bit pricey. But then you would have to minimize gaps that you have on your, especially the doors. If you can put some strips around it, it's ideal to do so in order for you not to to lose a lot.
Look, in a changing or unpredictable weather and climate environment, very hot summers, very, very cold winters, it's probably going to have to take us to even relook, redesign, reimagine how we build new houses for the future to ensure that there's effective heat retention when it's cold and to keep us cool when it's warm. We're going to have to start relooking at how we build our houses.
Yeah, sure. So, you see, here in these regions, we don't normally like take much care about insulating our homes, unlike in Europe where temperatures are always, most of the times, they're always like lower and you get freezing temperatures. So here in South Africa, for example, people, when they build, they just make sure that the house is up and running. But then the elements of your retaining heat or having favorable temperatures in the house, we don't normally take care of that. But then now with the rising in, we can see the temperature differences now we are experiencing. In summer, it gets very hot, and then in winter, it gets freezing, like freezing cold. And now we have to make sure we consider those when we are designing the houses. To be energy efficient houses.
Brighton, here's a message you're asking, is underfloor heating worth it?
Underfloor heating is worth it, especially if you are building houses and you don't have, you have a lot of glasses in the house, for example. Because even though it's, even though you do double glazes and then you, but you have like a lot of open spaces. The how and flooring also, if you go for tiled flooring, the house will be very cold. So underfloor heating, it's a bit pricey on installation, but it's worth it.
Well, we're also looking at living in a country where there's issues of energy reliability, but also energy price. The cost for electricity, Brighton, obviously, if you're going to do that, you're going to have a budget.
Oh, yes, sure. So in terms of heating, heating a home from an electrical element, it's something which will, which a lot of people would actually say it's very expensive, and which is actually true. So if you are heating a house, for example, we are looking at, for example, 300 square meter house that you are heating. And then if you heat from electricity, it will be very expensive. So you have to look at alternative heat sources. And still achieve heating. So we recommend some other heat sources like wood burners or wood boilers, because we have we still have quite a number of suppliers of wood. And then pellet boilers are also moving into the market at the moment, and they are very convenient.
What's it called?
As well.
when I went camping, what's called a donkey boiler?
A donkey boiler, yes. That's the old name to it. But then the donkey boilers, they are now the closed combustion boilers where you still have it in your house because it looks exactly like any other fireplaces and it still looks neat as well. That's the thing.
Someone here says, Lester, I have an old wood-fired stove. Well, mm-hmm. It's like, remember they used to have augers when your grandparents used to have augers?
Yeah.
And they say that keeps us warm because it provides us with some cooking material or some way to cook food, but also it keeps our house warm. That's a very old school way of looking at it and solving this problem, Brighton.
It is old school, but at the end of the day, you'd like to have a warm home. So if it's, for example, the angas, the old ones, they were mainly from cast iron, and those things last. Even now, you look at the old stoves, and they're still like kicking, and they're still giving off heat. But obviously, with the latest inventions, they have upgraded the designs in order to have higher efficiencies and less losses up your chimneys.
Plenty of questions here. People wanting to heat their homes. 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567. What are currently your most popular products, Brighton? Is it people wanting to retrofit with fireplaces in their home, or people when they're building installing it alongside with other fittings from the beginning?
I can say a lot of people are now shifting towards central heating, which especially for newly built. So if you're building your house, you can either consider radiator heating in the bedrooms with a central fireplace in the lounge or dining, and then underfloor heating, as I mentioned earlier on, that if you've got open spaces where you can't mount radiators against the walls, then you can consider underfloor heating. Then there's some houses also which are existing, pre-existing, and you're looking at freestanding fireplaces. We have like units, freestanding units, on a like budget, like 20,000, you can have a 100 square meter covered.
Wow.
That's what freestanding. So it can be anywhere in the house. You can either go through the wall or you can go straight up through the roof. Then for open fireplaces, existing open fireplaces, because you've got these old jet masters, which are open fireplaces, and a lot of them, they tend to smoke into the house and you lose most of the energy up the chimney. We also have options to retrofit our closed combustion units.
We have what you call a burner braai, and we try and keep the doors open when we try to just create a little heat. When we want to braai, when it's summer, then the whole house is hot. But when it's cold, none of that heat radiates throughout the house. We need to reconfigure, Jimmy, that thing. But Ishmael is calling in from Woodstock. Good morning, Ishmael. Ishmael, you there? Ishmael, going once, going twice?
Yeah, it's a simple process to deal with the cold, man.
What's that?
Yeah, you know, Abdullah Ibrahim, he asked me once. He lived in Rondebosch East. Very, very, very cold. And he asked me their solution to deal with the cold. I said, yeah, we go to the hardware store, big hardware store, and we bought those heating, econo heating panel system.
Uh-huh.
You screw it, it's got four bolts, you screw it into the wall, and you plug it in. Now the heat goes around in the room.
Uh-huh.
So when you go into the room, you keep the door closed. When you go into the room, then the room is warm.
I think that's also part of the solution. Keep doors closed in the house, Brighton.
Yes, sure. Yeah. So obviously, with the electrical panels, the electrical heaters that the gentleman is mentioning, they're mainly for like small confined spaces. But then the moment you are looking to heat up in the entire home, then you have to look at different options.
Many people asking here about what happens if I live in a complex, if I want to install a fireplace, but I there are obviously flats and units above me. What is the best answer for someone who wants to install a fireplace, but they live in a complex?
Yeah, complexes are a bit tricky. You get some complexes where you have got restrictions that you cannot install a fireplace. Then obviously you have to look at like a gas heater or an electric heater. But then you get also complexes where you are allowed to have like a pellet stove. But with pellet stoves, you can just drill your opening, that's for your chimney, to go through the wall and then outside. So as long as it's outside, then your fireplace or your pellet stove will operate. So with pellet stoves, you can heat quite a big space because you've got they are aided with a fan. So you can actually heat up quite a big space with the pellets, especially if you are in a complex where you are restricted to not have a fireplace.
Mm. Brighton, just there's a question from Chris in Fishhook. Hi, I have put bubble wrap directly onto my windows, and also I leave the oven open after cooking. Does it help? How would the bubble wrap work?
I've never tested that.
Well, Brighton Mariba, technical manager at Hydro Fire. Look, I have a friend, Dougie. He would say the best way to keep warm is with a bottle of Old Brown Sherry. But of course, during this time, if you all can get your hands on a bottle of Old Brown Sherry, very, very lucky to you. But coming up for Eyewitness News, you are listening to The Morning Review.